I would encourage you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, if you would, please. Well, I've talked to you a little bit about gifts and giving and receiving today. This is kind of a different kind of a sermon because of what we're doing at the end, but I think it'll be a good time this morning. I think everyone likes to receive gifts. At Christmas, we say, Christmas is about giving gifts, but if we're entirely honest, we'd say, whether it's Christmas or your birthday or just any old day, it's always fun to receive a gift. Well, maybe I shouldn't say always fun. Maybe I should say it's generally fun to receive a gift. Because there have been occasions when I've thought about gift receiving and realized it's not always a good thing. For example, I once knew a woman who would bake cookies for people that she didn't like. This was an evil woman. And she would put X-lax in them. No kidding. No kidding. Don't ever take a gift from her. She does not attend this church. You're safe. I don't know anyone in this church that does that sort of thing. But that's the kind of gift that you wouldn't want to get, right? Or maybe, and this is more serious, on the serious side, you know someone who doesn't have much money. Has this happened to you? Someone that you knew, you were like the Shah of Iran compared to them, or the King of Saudi Arabia financially compared to them, and they bought you a gift and you knew they had sacrificed a lot to give you that gift. And when they hold it out to you, do you feel this kind of thing like, oh, I can't take this from them? That's the kind of gift you don't want to receive generally. Of course, you need to receive it because it's just proper to do it when they offer you a gift. There's a third way in which you might be distressed when someone gives you something about receiving a gift. And it would be when someone gives you something and you have nothing to give them in return. Has this happened to you? I remember early in when I was still in college, my wife and I were invited to a party. I got the invitation. I passed it on to my wife. I didn't pass a vital piece of information on to her. And when we were there and everyone settled, it came time for us to present our gifts to the hostess who was there. But whenever you receive a gift, you just feel like I need to give one back, right? In fact, have you done this year? Have you received a Christmas card from someone you didn't expect to get it from and gone straight to your desk and filled one out to send back to them? It's just the thing that we do. When we receive a gift, you want to give a gift back. And what you dread is those Christmas Eve gifts. It's like 5 minutes till quitting time at work, and all of a sudden the person that works next to you, they hand you a gift. And it's like, oh, I don't have one for them. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, that's awful. Now, it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't feel that way, because Christmas is all about God giving us a gift that we could never match. He gave us the gift of His Son, who died for our sins. And yet, if each of us was honest, we'd have to admit our embarrassment on occasions when we don't have something to give back. And while we ought not feel this way, because of the whole concept of Christmas is that we receive the gift we could never equal, still, giving gifts is part of the Christmas story. In fact, let's look at the giving gifts part from a human perspective of the Christmas story. Your Bible's open to Matthew chapter 2, and you can see right in verse 1 it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, that is wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born to the Jews? We saw our east and have come to worship him. Now skip down to verse 8. We'll skip over the Herod part here, and we'll pick up on verse 8. Herod sends them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a search of the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may worship him. After they heard the king, they went home. Saw they had seen his went to a sacrifice, which you offered at the temple after a child was born, a firstborn. What they offered was the discount sacrifice. They didn't go in with trumpets and everything else and say, we need the big, big sheep. That's what we're offering. They offered birds. And that tells you that, yeah, Mary and Joseph weren't made of money. They were common folk. He was a carpenter, you know, and not a lot of income coming in. But did Jesus really need gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, anyone will tell you, they probably used this money. It was all spent up when they took their flight to Egypt. So in a sense, yeah, it was put to a good use. But did Jesus really need their gift? His heavenly Father owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. He made the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh that they offered to him. They were really just doing what Jim says when he often takes the offering, giving back a portion to him that he had given to them, because he is God in the flesh. He doesn't need gifts. But giving gifts to God, when you recognize the gift He's given to you, it's just the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. In ancient times, you never paid a visit to a king empty-handed. You would walk in with the best of whatever you had and offer it to that king. And Jesus, coming to earth, was a gift to us. He was coming to offer Himself as the Messiah, as our Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who will save His people from their sins. And even today, when you recognize that gift, you receive that gift, you want to give something in return. Think with me for a moment just about the gifts we've received from God. Your very life is a gift from God, isn't it? I mean, your identity came to you from God. He is the one who made you. I love how the psalmist says in Psalm 139, he says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." God did that. He made you just the way He wanted you to be. And the very fact that you have an identity, that you have life, that comes from God. Your family, your friends, your church family, the people you love and care about. Those are gifts from God. The very air that you breathe, do this, go, can you do that? That came from God. That's something He gave you. James says, and if you're around church much, you know this verse, it's James 1:17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above." Listen to it in context, though. I'll read verse 17 and 18 of James 1. You don't have to turn there, but just listen as I read the context here. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And then listen to the next verse that James writes. "He, God, chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." I love that. Not only your birth inside your mother's womb, but if you're a Christian, your rebirth, when He came in and changed your life by entering into your life, is a gift from God. We recognize that at Christmas. Jesus is a gift that we think about at Christmas. We think of God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. There's that gift. He gave His Son for us, the very best, heaven's best. He offers us forgiveness through Jesus and His death on the cross. He offers us eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Well, thank God the verse doesn't end there, because the next phrase says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." God is a huge gift giver. He's given the greatest gift. So what can we give back to Him? What can we offer back to the Lord? Let me make something perfectly clear before I address that question. And let me just say this and understand this with clarity. You cannot pay God back for what He's done for you. You can't make it even. You can't give back to Him that which He's given to you in its entirety. Just imagine for a moment that I gave my Son to die in your place. Just imagine that my son, Tim. Hi, Tim. Good to see you back. How was children's worship? That was okay? Good. Good to have you here. He's so doggone cute, isn't he? Just imagine that I gave him to die in your place. And you know, I love him like fire. You know? Esther the same. Laurel the same. Imagine I gave one of them to die in your place. And after it was over, you came to me and you said, "Pastor Steve, man, that was good of you to do that. Let me get out my wallet here. What do I owe you?" I'm going to punch you if you do that. You understand? Because the life of my son is something you could never pay for. How much less then would you ever expect to be able to pay for the life of the Son of God? So when you're giving these gifts this morning, or when you give your offering, or when you give your time, don't think you're paying a bill. Because you're not. God isn't asking you to pay Him back. He gave His life freely, voluntarily, for you. And what you're doing instead is just showing your love and appreciation. When you receive God's great gift of forgiveness of your sin and know that He gave His Son so that you would not have to go to hell, but you can go to heaven. When you get that in your head, then the words of Romans chapter 12, they just make sense. They resonate with you. You think, wow, therefore, since God has done this, I ought to offer my body, myself, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Do you hear those words? Paul writes 12 chapters of theology of how we did not deserve the gift that came on Christmas. We did not deserve Jesus to die for our sins. But while we were yet sinners, He demonstrated His love for us by sending Christ to die for us. And because of that, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. We who were enemies with God are now children of God. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That just clicks with you. It's almost like no one even needs to tell you that when you recognize what God has done for you. So what then? What can we offer Him? Let me make just a couple broad suggestions for you. One of them is a sense of appreciation. I was talking to someone this past week and they said, you know, I have a good friend who whenever I give him a gift, he doesn't even say thanks. It's a Christmas time, I give him a Christmas gift, he doesn't even say thanks. And that same thing happens with his family members, and that's just something that irks his mom to death. He doesn't even say thanks. Well, then let's start there. As Christians, as people who have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus' death and resurrection, maybe we need to begin by offering Him back our appreciation. Thank you, Lord, for your gift. Thank you. And even living a life of thankfulness before Him. Holy and pleasing to God. It's your spiritual act of worship. You can offer Him your devotion. That is, you're making your life matter for Him. What are you devoted to? It amazes me what people are devoted to, you know? Have you seen the Fathead commercials? My family loves the Fathead commercials. How many, you know what I'm talking about? If you watch any sports, you know what I'm talking about, you know? And we're not Chicago Bears fans, but we would like the life-size thing of Brian Urlacher just because he's so tough, you know? Until we looked at how much those cost. Do you know how much those cost? $100. How much do they cost, Joe? $99. My good friend Joe Brett, he knows everything there is to know about football. If you ever have any football questions, Joe knows the answers. Okay, well, pretty much, he's shaking his head no. Maybe his gift is football. I don't think that's a gift. But anyway, that's crazy. $99 for one of those. You better be devoted to Brian Urlacher. By the way, don't go out and buy me one of those. I don't have any place to put it. You better be devoted to him. My wife would, how about our bedroom, hon? Would that look okay? No. You better be devoted to him to get that. What a trivial thing to be devoted to, you know? You cut me, I bleed black and gold, man. I'm a Tide fan and I'm a Steelers fan all the way through, you know? But that is not what I'm devoted to. I'm devoted to the one who gave his life for me. You can offer him your appreciation. You can offer him your devotion. You can offer him your service, you know? Serving Him. That's really where spiritual gift ministry comes in. Hey, Lloyd, you got your ushers ready? Let's roll those boys down the aisle, shall we? Okay. They're not really rolling. Wouldn't that be interesting to have ushers that wore roller skates? Okay. Look, if you've been with us, let me just explain this as they're distributing these papers, okay? If you've been with us for the past few months, let me kind of catch you up. The Bible says that each of us have been given a gift. Let me read you the passage that speaks of that. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians, and he says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." That means That if you are a Christian, you've been given a spiritual gift. And if you've been here for the past 6 months, you ought to be grasping by now what that gift is. And today you're going to offer that gift, as I said earlier, back to God and to your church family as well. The ushers are distributing these little cards, and you can see on them, it has the 20 gifts that we have studied in morning worship service. We've done these on a PowerPoint. If you missed them, they're on the website. In Sunday school, we've discussed these in great detail for the past several months. And so now, this is your chance to just mark down, thank you, God, for giving me this gift. Now, don't mark yet, okay? I hope you're not marking yet, because I have some instructions for you. What I'd like you to do on this is place like a 1 where your strongest gift is, the gift you're most certain of. So for me, you probably disagree with this emphatically, but I think my strongest gift is preaching. You're probably, sometimes you wonder, I don't even know if that guy has that gift. I hope you don't feel that way. I'm trying to be funny. Okay? But I would put a 1 beside prophecy, which I believe is preaching. It is having a message from God to give to people. A second gift that I feel I have, but it's not as strong as that of prophecy, is teaching. So I'm going to put a number 2 beside that. And I might be done. I might say, that's it, man. Those are my gifts. Prophecy and teaching. I might, on the other hand, I might think, no, I have other gifts as well. And I might say, I think number 3, my third gift is administration. Number 4, my fourth gift is evangelism. And number 5, my fifth gift is helps or something like that, whatever. I, you know, whatever you feel after having been in the classes, these pink survey sheets that are in the lobby, those were in your books, and they were here last week for distribution, as well as this past Wednesday night. You can take one if you didn't get one. But those are the same questions that are in your books. And you're looking at that, you're thinking about what people have told you, and you're going to rank your top couple gifts, however many that is for you. Okay? Now, understand, you're not doing this with any kind of pride. People are always hesitant to do this, and I really admire that about you, that you would say, I don't want to say that I have this gift or that gift, because I don't want to be puffed up, I don't want to be arrogant, I don't want to be proud. Let me free you from that by saying, I know that. What you're doing is you're saying to God, here is what you've given me, I offer it back to you and I'll use it. Because in every body like ours, there are a number of people that have gifts that just, they're withholding them. They're saying, yeah, I have the gift of teaching, but don't bother me with that. I'm busy making money right now. Or whatever. Okay? So, you're saying, here's my gift and I do want to use it. You're talking to God. It's between you and Him. It's almost like a communion service. And I wonder if the musicians want to come at this time. The second thing that you're doing is you're saying to your church family, and this is why there's a spot for your name, you're saying to your church family, in humility, I offer this gift to you. In humility, I offer this gift to my brothers and sisters in Christ because I love them. I love them and I want them to know what my gift is so that God can use me there. One of the places we scored low in was functional structures in natural church development. And I really see how John Fogel was right on when he told us gift-oriented ministry is what we need to do. Because when we know these gifts, then the way we're structured will work even better. It will raise that grade as well. So give that some thought, and in just a moment, you can begin filling them out. I do want to read to you a statement from C.S. Lewis. Listen to this statement. C.S. Lewis is writing, you know who he is? Did you see the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia? Have you read the book? That's C.S. Lewis. He's a Christian. He's passed away the same day as John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Lewis died, so it didn't make the headlines. But listen to what he wrote in one of his books called Mere Christianity. Lewis says, every faculty, that is every ability, you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that was not, in a sense, His own already. So when we talk of a man doing anything for God or giving anything to God, I will tell you what it is really like. It is like a small child going to its father and saying, Daddy, give me a sixpence to buy a birthday present for you. You understand what a sixpence is? It's like a nickel. Daddy, give me a nickel to buy you a birthday present. Of course, the father does and is pleased with the child's present. It is all very nice and proper, but only an idiot would think the father is sixpence to the good, on a transaction. You might be familiar with a band, a pop band called Sixpence None the Richer. Have you heard them? That's where their name comes from. Lee Nash explained it to David Letterman. She said, "The gifts that we have to write these songs and the voice that I have to sing them comes from God. And I dare not think that as I do this, I'm doing God a favor. I am just giving to God what He has given to me." And that is what you are doing today. So therefore, you're free of the concept of, am I doing this with arrogance or pride? No. You know that your Father has given you sixpence and you're returning it to Him. He is none the richer for it, but He experiences your love. He recognizes your devotion and your thankfulness, and He accepts it well. So let's take just a moment. You're going to rate your top couple gifts. You guys want to play a melody for us to do that? Thank you.